Welcome back to Can't Wait, and we are here to change the course and the trajectory of America's most major popular, what's the word I'm looking for? Revenue-generating industry right now. The NFL is traditionally one of the most conservative sports. They don't approach change lightly. Anything that goes toward altering the fabric of what they do, they take a long time to think about and consider. Because why wouldn't you when you're as successful as they are? But it came out recently that they're going to move the extra point back, which is very exciting. And it sounds boring, but that in terms of NFL rule changes, this is a huge deal. Because right now, it's 20 yards. You put the ball down at the three, you boot it through, it's an afterthought. How many extra points get missed in a given season?
Yeah, it's got a 99% conversion rate, basically.
And so there's really, right now, there's no real choice during the course of a game between kicking the extra point or going for two. It's usually something that happens late in the fourth quarter when you have your weird sheet and probabilities and math and who cares. So they're going to move it back to make it a real choice. How far is the point moving back? Is it now a 60-yard field goal?
65.
It's going to have to be an NFL record every time you want to kick
only
the point.
Left-footed.
Or like Tom Dempsey style with the flat end.
Right.
Flat shoe. Right. Where you just have to kick it straight on.
Now that's an interesting development.
See, that's what I want.
That's great.
And so piggybacking off the NFL's unprecedented rule changes, we are going to change what football does from here on out. Rusty, give us your rule change for the National Football League.
Well, kind of like a lot of times when we do these topics, it's not as much the change as how I got to the change, I feel like, that is interesting. Being part of Can't Wait and the Sports and Nonsense show has kind of changed me a little. I think for the better.
Good.
I like to think that. My wife says I talk about sports a little less at home now, and makes her happy.
You're welcome, Michelle.
Yeah, so thank you. You are welcome, Michelle. The one thing that's happened is we talk about football, which is not something I generally do. I don't talk about football that often. So it's
because you're living it. You love it. It's in your bones.
It's not. I don't watch a whole lot of football. But I enjoy it, and I used to watch it a lot. I used to love watching it. And so it's gotten me to do a lot of research about football. Well, if you research football, it's not good, typically. The stuff that's coming out of football right now, when you look at it, it's kind of bad stuff. It's a lot of people being maimed.
Yeah.
It's an industry that's really hurting people. And I end up reading these stories about 34-year-olds who have these physical and neurological issues that we're only beginning to understand.
Right.
You know, and that's...
Terrifying stuff.
Terrifying stuff. People who, 34, who are passing out and they lose their heartbeat briefly and bad
wild
stuff.
Mood swings.
Wild mood swings and
memory
people taking
loss.
Their own lives.
Yes.
And I wanted to share this because I thought it was kind of interesting. There was a debate, I think a year or two ago, between Malcolm Gladwell. He had on his side Buzz Bissinger. I don't know the man very well, but he wrote Saturday or Friday Night Lights.
Yes.
So they were debating.
He's also an insane person.
On the side of no football. Exactly.
Yes,
exactly.
Yes.
Against Jason Whitlock and Tim Green.
Yeah, Jason Whitlock, another insane person.
Yes. So they had the debate. And going into the debate, they measured the audience's take on what was happening, you know, how they felt about it. And Gladwell and Bissinger were saying no college football.
Yes.
And that's a pretty fringy idea in American society.
Very extreme right now.
16% of the audience thought that going in. After the debate, that number was 53%.
Wow.
When you're encountered with the facts.
When you're encountered with the facts.
It is stark. It is scary.
They say no college football all at once. And that's, I think that the 16% is probably typical of the national average right now.
Right.
You know? And so, ultimately, I come down on the side of no football. So that's my rule change for football. But in the interest of something...
You're setting the rule book on fire.
I did. No college football because it's untenable. And I think Malcolm Gladwell's right. I think that's why we're talking about paying these players now is because what they're going through long term is bad stuff.
Yes.
And I think that once we start really seeing that, the colleges are going to be sued. And that's gonna end up making it untenable.
It's always litigation.
The minor league system for the NFL is going to disappear, and then what happens?
Yeah.
But so I do have a couple better rules than no football, though.
Oh, so you're just going to tweak the rule book.
I'm going to tweak it. I've got two different ways of going. One, I say we replace the pigskin with a kitten.
Aw.
And so we, and you can't hurt the kitten. You have to get it to your end zone, but it must remain safe.
The kitten's safety is paramount.
Is the most important thing. And so I see that then changing the whole way football's played, obviously. It becomes more something that dancers might be interested in. And, like, you might see people doing ballet and
it's
pirouettes.
It's much more graceful.
Much more graceful and less brutish.
If I may critique the kitten ball.
Yeah.
Our cat, Emma, at home, the most beautiful cat in the whole wide world, a supermodel of cats, she has bowel problems on occasion. And she will smell like... Like the stench that will come from her is unholy. And so if the goal is to keep this cat safe, and it's so nervous that whatever happens on your hands makes it so you don't want to carry that cat anymore, does the cat just run off? How do we deal with stoppages of play as a result of a kitten's nervous bowel system?
Well, the kitten hitting the ground, I think, that there would be rules that would have to be dealt with. Within that. And so that was my one thought. And then my other thought is you know, George Carlin once really famously compared football to warfare.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, why draw that comparison? Just let's take it all the way.
Literally.
So I say, for one, you can deflate the football as much as you want.
Yeah,
totally. You can then hide it in your shirt. You could strap it to your body. Maybe you're not down until you're down for 3 seconds.
Oh, pinned. You have to be pinned.
So people are trying to rip that ball off of you. And I think, you know, I don't want... Well, I've got another slight thing that could go along with this, I guess, is I think landmines, the occasional landmines. We're okay with football. We're okay with landmines. Bring them together.
Like a mild landmine that just knocks you like 20 feet into the air?
Yeah, no, I don't really want to maim anybody, exactly. But this game would be. I say we're taking it to the extreme.
It's like American Gladiators.
And then that's the thing is, football players don't just retire anymore, I think, in my world. If we're going to really go all violent with it, I think I would have them... We don't want people with PTSD... walking around society. We don't take care of our soldiers enough as it is. We're not going to take care of former football players, especially once this game's going that I'm talking about. So I think that they become American gladiators or gladiators.
Yeah, literal gladiators.
So that's where I go with my rule changes for football.
There's a lot of finality.
Yes. Yes.
Things are going to end.
Yeah. So those are my two versions of rule changes that could happen. And
kittens and death. Okay,
and
Matt
death.
Milner, what do you got for us?
I approached it from a very similar perspective, and my conclusion was to eliminate illegal formation penalties.
Good. Love it.
I love that.
So obviously I didn't approach it from a similar perspective, but I do think if we're accepting the first principle that football will remain a sport, but we're looking for ways to improve the product and make it more interesting. Illegal formation penalties, my first problem is that nobody understands them.
Right. It's such minutia.
Right. And the fact that my best evidence that nobody understands them is the fact that when Belichick last year was pulling, you know, his sort of shenanigans with the formations that they were trotting out towards the end of last season that were technically legal last year but are now illegal in terms of where, you know, folks checking in at different positions and all that. Mm-hmm. People didn't even really understand what was happening as it was going on and if it was legal in real time.
Not just people,
but like
head football coaches.
Right.
People who are well compensated to know every inch of that rule book had no idea what he was running out there.
Right. So that's a sign to me that that's a broken rule. And I know that they have changed the rules to forbid what Belichick was doing specifically, but I think that that's kind of putting a Band-Aid on a big gaping wound, which is that the formation penalties, first of all, they're complicated, but they also don't really make a lot of sense in the modern NFL. There's not really a safety rationale for it. It doesn't promote like a higher quality of play. What it promotes is rigidity and a homogenous product.
So what you're saying is it does exactly what the NFL sets out to do.
Exactly, yeah. So, of course, that's what they do. But, you know, I think that one of the things that would be fun, and there are more flexible formation rules in college that you do see folks taking advantage of, but I think it would be interesting if if you saw these really brilliant offensive minds have the opportunity to move away from, you know, the default of the five lineman line with, you know, two tackles on the outside. Instead, you know, it could have it more open to be able to spread the field more, to see, you know, what they could come up with if you could have a wide receiver who, God forbid, was lined up just off the line of scrimmage on the end. You know, the things, I think it would open up the freedom of the game and frankly, just create a more diverse product, which I think is always better.
I know that in an arena football, you can get a running head start at the line of scrimmage.
Oh, that's great.
It's the best.
Yeah.
Dream come true.
That's fun.
And that's part of the formation issues, is there are all these like illegal movement in the backfield and stuff that you don't understand. Yeah, yeah. And not fun. And nobody wants, you know, penalties to be based on these sort of technicalities before the ball's even snapped. So I think that would be the one thing that I would do, again, within the realm of non-kitten-based solutions.
Non-kitten, non-landmine.
Non-landmine, yeah.
So when we're talking about the sport of football, every hack stand-up comedian talks about how much nonsense the word football is in a sport where you don't really kick the ball that much. I mean, most of it's throwing and catching and running. I mean, I don't know what you would call it otherwise. You can come up with any one of a million words to term the sport something else.
Hardly looks like a ball.
No, it's this weird oblong thing. It's nonsense. The fact that it's as popular as it is, when you actually sit and think about how weird this sport is and how violent it is and how little it actually makes sense, it's kind of incredible. So what I would do is I would eliminate the foot entirely. I don't want punters. I don't want kickers.
Yeah.
I don't want kickoffs. I don't want any of it. You have to go for it on fourth down every time. Mm-hmm. You have to always be going for it. And I feel like we're nearing a possibility. Like, this could actually happen with Chip Kelly this year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Chip Kelly is let's call him a controversial coach who doesn't necessarily know how to put together a team yet. It's just nonsense, and I love it. I love it whenever nonsense enters the NFL, and I feel like this might... he won't do it this year, but I think that we are nearing a day when an analytics-based team just says, we increase our odds of winning by never punting.
Mm-hmm.
We increase our odds of winning by never kicking field goals. Always trying to score touchdowns, always going for two, and I guess you have to kick off. But, I mean, if you wanted to try to do onside kicks every time, or, I mean, I don't know. I want the foot gone.
Well, and they've experimented already with getting rid of kickoffs because of the injury issues.
Because of the injury issues.
Yeah, so wasn't it the Pro Bowl? No kickoffs this
right.
year? I think you just start on the 25 or the 20.
And you just go.
That makes sense.
Go. Yeah.
I know this is one of the things I loved about the XFL, where they just put the ball at the 50 and had two guys run and try to get it. So it's so stupid. I loved it.
Yeah.
But I think football would be just so much more interesting if you could never kick. What you would do, though, you would eliminate the element of surprise when you have to, it's not going for it anymore. It's just a play.
Mm-hmm.
But
so you couldn't fake it.
No, there's no fakes. There's nothing. You know, every team would be expecting whatever it is you're running,
mm-hmm.
and that's fine. I want to see what it would look like over the course of a full season where every team couldn't kick. I think that's a better sport.
Yeah.
And
this could be tested out on a Madden game.
Yeah. I mean, that's how I played Madden. I never kicked. Are you kidding? Why would I? Why would I give you the ball? Take it from me.
Right.
So, I mean, I feel like in every one of our scenarios, football is at least 90% better. The kitten solution makes it 200% better.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
And so if we were able to combine all of our ideas where it's a kitten ball with no illegal formations and you can't punt and you can't kick field goals and it's just...
You would never kick a kitten anyway.
No, why would... What kind of monster would you be?
Harmonious rule changes, yeah.
What kind of monster would you have to be?
Right.
So in the course of the last 10 minutes, we just saw football. All the problems are over. It's the best sport in the world. Goodbye, huge cash cow that is morally reprehensible.
You're welcome, NFL.
You're welcome. And that's going to do it for this segment on Can't Wait. Coming up next, we have birthday stories, graduation stories. It's a Memorial Day extravaganza of wonderful times here on Can't Wait.